We are flipping the script on empty nesting. I love this guy. He is so good. His name is Jay, and this is what he does. He gets you from that empty nest life and not knowing what's next and what do I do? Where do I go? He reignites your purpose so that you can find this joy that you need because these kids are grown and flown. So stay tuned for this episode because you are going to love it. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jay Ramsden, the Empty Nest Coach on TikTok and Instagram, and I'm excited to be having an amazing conversation with Nina Perez today. Let's get after it.
What's up, y'all? Today, the guest is going to be flipping the script on what it means to be an empty nester, because I know that a lot of you guys right now are like, what the heck is next, right? So I have Jay Ramsden here. He's a certified personal and executive coach and the founder of This Empty Nest Life. With a background in psychology and education and positive psychology coaching, Jay helps parents reclaim their identity, reignite purpose, and find joy after those kids are grown and flown, y'all, okay? He's been featured in Wall Street Journal, Axios DC, and The Daily Blast Live. Now, he's on a mission to turn that empty nest years into powerful reinvention. You know, not quite resignation, because I don't think all of y'all know how to resign. I think you just keep going. So if you ever wondered, what's next? What the freak do I do from here after raising a family? Jay is here to answer that question. Jay, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
I am well, Nina. So good to see you again.
Yes, it's so good to see you. I had such a lovely conversation with you on your podcast. I had to have you on here because I'm an empty nester, you know, but I started my journey really young. I mean, I had my first child at 15, so I was super young. And so, but there are a lot of families that I talk to that really do struggle with that next step. And when those kids leave, they almost feel lost and empty and they don't see a purpose. So I want to talk to you, Jay, first about who you are. And then we'll go from there. So who is Jay Ramsden?
You're opening a whole can of worms here.
Yes, I am.
Right? Like it's I've been on a journey just like my clients are on a journey. I think when, you know, I am somebody who was in education for 30 years, loved doing that. My passion has always been helping people like to find a better way forward. It's like, you have a problem, let's figure out how to solve it. So whether I was in education, helping people find schools, or in my tech work, we all know tech raises issues and problems, but helping people solve a problem and find a better way to move forward. And what I love is I get to do the same thing now, helping people who are trying to answer the question, kind of what now and what's next for me when the kids leave home. Empty nesting, as you know, is one of those things where we know it's coming. Like you can see it way off in the distance. It's way out there. I think it's closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. But do you think we prepare for it? No, we do not. And I think that's why people end up being like almost shocked, like, oh, it's here. And now what?
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is because I feel like the older we get, and I mean, of course, time is time, but I feel like it gets here fast, right? Like I look at I still call them my babies, right? Because they are my babies. I was hanging out with one of my babies. He's 37, but he's still my baby. And I'm like, how did this happen? Like, how did you grow so fast, and you're a man and you're doing your things. And I'm just like, you know, and I realized, Jay, that, you know, this empty nest feeling or when that first kid leaves home, if you have multiple children, is really, really hard. That I struggled with that. You know, the first one usually breaks the ice. So by the second one, the third, whatever, you're feeling a little bit better because the first one survived outside of the home, hopefully, you know. So tell me a little bit about why did you choose to help people in empty nesting? Was this something that was affecting your life or something that you were just watching happen?
I think ultimately I ended up that way because I was kind of just a general life coach when I left education. I was like, you know, I'm a very positive person. I believe in like bringing positivity to the world, kindness, and like helping people kind of figure out like what's not working. Let's figure out how to make it better. But what I found is the people that I attracted were all people who were at the same age and place as me. And that was around 54, 55. And kids moving on and trying to figure out what's next. And we had moved. My wife got a promotion. We had moved. We worked at the the same school. The kids went there. It was fabulous. We did that for a really long time. She got a promotion. I decided not to stay in tech in schools after the pandemic because I was really just done with hybrid learning and all of the things.
That's hard too. That was hard. Oh,
for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I decided, I'm going to get back to my roots, which is in psychology and trying to help people find a better way to move forward. And so the empty nesters found me. That's what I like to say. It's like, I didn't find them. Like, I didn't find them. They found me because I was just talking about things that resonated with them. And that's how I ended up being the empty nest coach on TikTok and Instagram. I built a following and people are like, oh, this guy is kind of just giving it straight. There's not like a whole lot of mess to it. It's like, here's what happens when, this is what it looks like. Here's what you can do about it.
Yeah. You know, and that's good too, right? Because I think also there is too much saturation with other things out there, right? So if you can just be straightforward and just tell people, okay, this is what it is, they know that this is what they're going through, right? So when you have to have 15 steps to get through that thing, people are done with that, Jay, you know, and especially in the coaching space. And I love that you are also living in TikTok, right? You live in TikTok too, right?
I do. So
That's amazing. And I love that because TikTok is not for the little babies anymore, for the young ones anymore. It's for people who are building connections. I've realized that lately because my videos have been getting a lot of views and I've been getting comments and I'm like, oh, maybe I should look into TikTok a little bit more, you know, because I didn't realize it. I just thought it was like Instagram, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. And then I just started just adding them onto TikTok as a side note. And I think I need to be a little bit more serious about that. And so I'm wondering, Jay, now many parents are feeling like this deep loss, right? When their kids leave home, it really is a loss because you don't have that care that you have to give every day now for this child who is now an adult and leaving home either to college or just finding their life, right? And that's a very difficult place to be. I mean, I know it was for me and for a lot of people I speak to. So what are some emotional shifts that you're seeing the people go through, especially when it comes to that first year? Because I think that's the hardest time is that first year when they first leave. And I say year because it's not done in a week. Like, I think it takes you time to start to stop calling them every day and wondering what they're doing and tracking them on the phone and all the great things, right? So tell me about that. What is that emotional shift that you're seeing that people are going through in that first year of their empty nesting?
Yeah. You know, people say, okay, I'm sad. But what it really is it's grief.
Yeah.
It's grief. Ooh, yeah. And people sometimes see it that way. Sometimes they don't see it that way. But really what it is you know, there's a great quote that says, grief is just love with no place to go. All right. And so think about your baby, the very first one that left, right? They leave and you loved up on them in the house, right? Hugs and kisses and doing things for them, whatever your love language might have been for them, whatever that looked like. And then they go off to college and you don't have that direct connection anymore. Mm. So grief with it's love with no place to go.
That's so good. That's so good.
Let's sit with that for a minute.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need to pause there for a second. That is so good. And it's so true because grief is love with no place to go. It reminds me, this is going to be a little bit sad, but it reminds me of my niece where she passed away in a drunken car accident and she was 18. That's what her mother feels. Love with no place to go, right? But empty nesting, I know that your babies are leaving the house and everything, but it does feel that way. It does. Because you see them every day, you've been feeding them or fighting with them, whatever the thing is, right? And when it's not there, that is grief, isn't it? So that's powerful, right? And you're reaching people at that point where they are feeling that grief, right? Mm-hmm. And in a reinvention, right? Because I know, you know, You say, and you know, even in our first conversation, that you know, empty nesting is not the end, but a beginning, a new beginning, right?
It is.
So I'm just wondering, how do you help them? How do these parents start viewing this as a time of maybe opportunity instead of it being grief or a crisis?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, the grief with no place, grief is just love with no place to go. Jamie Anderson said that. That wasn't me. I don't want to get grief. Somebody says, oh, he didn't say that. That's not his original.
Oh. It's still powerful. It belongs to
Jamie Anderson. But what I do believe about grief, and this kind of goes into your question, like how do you help people kind of move through it? It's like people, you may have heard this phrase, is like, oh, grief, you just have to move through it. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to move through grief. But that's not what happens. Grief moves with you. Some very beginning, it's in the, it's like you drop that kid off at college. They're driving, that grief is driving you home, right? It's actually the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it sits in the passenger seat. It's just playing with the radio. And then eventually it goes to the back seat. And then it's in the trunk. And then eventually it's in the car behind you and a couple cars. Like, that's how grief is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually the first stage of empty nesting. Mm-hmm. Right? The next stage of empty nesting is relief. So they get to school. They're doing okay. You're relieved. You feel good. You understand, okay, I maybe I can get around this, maybe not. You know, it's, you get to be like October-ish. Then they come home for they come for that first long weekend or that Thanksgiving vacation. And you know what? That grief's no longer in that car again. It's right back in the and it comes back.
Yeah.
And you find relief again when they go back to school and you get the holidays again, the things feel good. So then you have grief, relief, and then the final one is joy. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, what's that time like? Is it a year? Is it like 3 months, 3 months, 3 months? No.
Right. Yeah, no way.
It's not linear. You don't go grief, relief, joy. Some people don't have amazing relationships with their kids. So they're joyful that they get the time back. Right. Other people go to relief and they hang out there. Some people stay in grief for a really long time.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking too, as you were saying that too, like, grief does go with you on the passenger side, 100%, right? I'm also wondering, the child too, it must be some grief on them as well, right? Because they're now starting a new chapter. Maybe there's excitement for them too, but there's also this piece of, oh shoot, you know what I mean? Like, my parents not there, or, oh shoot, I don't have that support, or, oh, can I call or should I call to ask for help, type of thing, right? So I think it affects all of us in a different way, because we're all on that different piece of that journey together. So I'm like curious about how you're helping them. Like, what are some of the like biggest identity challenges that you're helping your clients with in this season? Because that, I think, is the biggest thing, is that I think an identity crisis happens. Because especially if you're somebody who, and maybe not especially, but I realize that I've spoken to, because I speak mostly to women, and I speak to women who have like really raised their children, right? Like, they were the primary raise your child, you know, caregiver in the house. And that's the women I speak to, because the women I speak to, I help them develop service-based businesses. And they sometimes don't know who they are or what they even have as a talent or what they can bring to the world. Like, that's a huge identity piece, was raising the kids. So talk to me a little bit about that. How are you helping people understand that and navigate that piece?
Yeah. So you're spot on right there, Nina, is like, we do as parents, especially if you're the primary caregiver, especially if you see your role as the one who's taking care of the kids, regardless of whether you work outside of the home, inside the home, both, it doesn't matter, whoever is the primary caregiver inside the house, the one who's like doing the lunches and the laundry and the groceries, and, oh, you got to be at point A and you got to be at point C and we got to meet at point D later. That person becomes the identity of a parent first. So I always, you know, people say Billy or Susie's mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're known. Shoot, that's how we're known to everybody.
Right.
Even our friends' kids. Oh, that's Caitlin or Connor's dad, not, you know, Mr. Ramson.
Right.
And so that's how we get wrapped up in that identity of being a parent, as opposed to being an individual who is a parent.
Right, right. Well, that's good.
And that's the piece that we need to kind of break apart and say, okay, who are you now? That's not the first step. It's not unwinding the identity. That's the first step. It goes back to the grief part.
Yeah. Back
to wondering who you are. So the very first step in any sort of work that I do with people is just getting straight on what's going on in your head and your heart.
That's good.
And that's true of any transition, you know, right? If you get fired from a job or get divorced or have to move, whatever it is, any life transition, and you said the kids, true, the kids are also experiencing something similar, is answering that question, what now? And what's going up here? What's going on in my heart?
My heart.
That's where you start. Then you do a little bit of self-discovery work. Okay, now that you have your emotions kind of squared away, and your thoughts about yourself squared away, you can really start to do some visioning, like, who am I now? Who do I want to be? What does that look like?
Who do I want to be?
Yeah, who do I want to be? Yeah. And then eventually it's just setting goals to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If you had a magic wand, and ideally you can help someone who's listening right now before this happens, right? Because it's going to happen to all of us who are, especially if we're parents, right? It's going to happen. What would you say would be the ideal time to start already trying to discover this within yourself? Because I think sometimes, I mean, you were just talking about that in the beginning, right? Like you see it coming, you see it coming, and now it's here. Now you're like, oh, shoot, it's here. But I'm wondering if you could wave a wand and tell someone right now to start discovering or looking at that, when would you say would be ideal?
Well, I think when you look at it, Nina, like our whole lives are self-discovery, but we're not paying attention. Okay, so we're discovering things all along the way, and sometimes it's shouting more at us than others. And but we're not paying attention. So it's really just getting intentionally and curious about, okay, well, how have I lived my life? What have I been good at? What things do I want to continue to do? It's like, what do I want to start? What do I want to stop? And what do I want to keep doing? Those are three things that I like encourage people to say in my life right now. But to prepare for it is just to get really intentionally curious about what do you want from life now that the kids are gone. And I get it. Lots of moms out there say, well, I was born to be a mom. No doubt. No, no. It's like, if that was your purpose, that's what you wanted to do. No doubt. But you're also a person too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think me and you touched a little bit on this when I was speaking to you on your podcast too, because I was saying, yeah, but maybe there's other moms who can actually use your wisdom. So you can still be a mom through your content or through whatever the kind of work you want to do. You can go volunteer at a shelter. You can go do tons of things where you could still be the, you were born to be a mom role. You know, and I think we miss that sometimes because we just think, no, mom, kids, mom and our kids, mom. And no, no, actually, there's people out there who actually need that motherly love or wisdom or attention. Do you agree with that?
100%. Nina. Yeah. It's sometimes people just need to see what they were good at as a parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also have parents who are like, oh, gosh, that one, she knows how to organize, or he knows how to organize the heck out of a carpool, or that one always has a great lunch for their kid, and I can barely throw, you know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the bag kind of deal. Yeah. Or that one was really good at throwing parties, whatever it may be. Everybody has their unique talents and gifts, and sometimes people forget that when they're a parent.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. They also, I think, you know, for me too, I you know, my boys were moved out and they were grown now, and I had to redefine that relationship too. Because they now are their own adults, like we are our own adults, right? But it's sometimes hard to see because they're still your babies, right? But I wanted to talk to you about that relationship piece, right? Like how can we, you know, this is a stage where if you are married, what does that look like, right? Like how do you strengthen your marriage? How do you redefine the relationship between you and your partner? How do you redefine the relationship between you and that adult child that you just you know, are grieving. I want you to talk to them about that. Like, what does that mean? Like, how do you first get there? Because let me tell you what's happened, Jay, and you've probably seen this. I've spoken to some people who have gotten divorced after the kids leave. I find that extremely sad, honestly, because it's people I've spoken to that are married 30, 35 years. And they're like, oh, I just didn't know them anymore. So I'm like, damn, 35 years is a long time, you know? You know, some of them are very honest with me and tell me that, you know, I know that at least two of the conversations that I've had where they said, Nina, I just focused so much on the kids that me and him had no more of a relationship when we were done, right? So I'm just wondering, like, what advice you have or skills or something that we can start to implement when these kids leave the house, that we start to redefine the relationships to keep them strong and going. Do you help people with stuff like that?
I do. And let's break this down into two pieces. We'll start with the kids first, and then we'll move on to the parents.
Okay.
So with the kids, what you find is we still want to be that 24/7 parent.
Yeah. And
so in education, we used to say there are teachers who think they are the sage on the stage, right? In the middle, dispensing all the advice. And then there's kind of the mentor in the center is like the next type of teacher. And then there's the guide on the side. And that parallels really, really well with parenting.
I love that.
That sage on the stage when the kids are young, it's like, don't touch the stove. It's hot. Like, we know we did it. We touched it. It's hot. Don't do it. Sage on the stage, right? The mentor in the center is kind of where we want to be when they're in like high school age. And then we want to get to be that guide on the side. And that's the hardest switch for parents to make. Is now you're giving your kids agency over their lives. not giving. You want them to have agency.
Right.
You need to let go of the control, right? To let go of the fun. Yeah. And that's where you become that guide on the side when they're in college. So it's asking them simple things. Even if folks are listening and they're like, I'm not an empty nester yet, but it's happening this fall. Ask your kids how you want, how do they want you to communicate with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you want me to text you? Do you want me to call you? Do you want to set a set time? Whatever that looks like. Those are types of things by what I mean by giving agency back to the kids so that they can be like, oh yeah, this is my life and I'm in control of it. That's just the one piece there with the kids and trying to realize, oh, it is their lives. We try to teach them so much before they go. And some of us have kind of that inkling of, oh, I didn't teach them everything.
That's so good.
Just not possible. Yeah. And then with the adults and you know, you're on my podcast. I just did an episode about this, about gray divorce, with an expert who talks about relationships and marriage in a non-judgmental way. But we talked about gray divorce, which is the number one growing type of divorce.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I knew it was a lot happening, but I didn't know it was the number one growing.
The number one growing.
That's so sad to me.
People over 50. And they call it gray divorce because, you know, we've got
I got them. I got them.
Yeah. But it comes just what you said is like we're basically on the in the same car going in the same direction, but we're not really paying attention to each other. Right? The kids are in the back seat. Someone may be driving. The other person may be paying attention to the kids. And then you get to wherever you're going and you're like, I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we arrived at this point. And you know what? I don't like all the turns you took.
Yeah.
You gotta see it. Yeah. You don't see the eye to eye anymore. And some people struggle with that. They really say, well, you know, we spent 30 years together. The question to ask is, do you still want to stay together?
Yeah.
Right. Do you think you have to, or do you want to?
That's a deep question.
That's like where you start. Yeah. There's so much behind it. I mean, we could probably do a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
On gray divorce, but that's where you get to that point and say, do I want to, or do I feel like I have to?
Mm-hmm. That's a really deep question too, because sometimes the answer can be scary. You know, I know that when the kids were all out, I looked at my husband and I said, I still like you. He said, I still love you too. And I said, you know, I think we need to talk about that, talk about how we move forward from here. How do we support each other's dreams and ambitions? Like, we had to have a really deep heart-to-heart conversation because we were now not being distracted by the challenges of our kids and the way they were fighting and how they, blah, 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 whatever. And it was just me and him in the house. And it was me, him, and the dogs. And we were like, okay, so I actually kind of like this. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of like you. I get along with you. And that's where we started, you know, like, and we realized that we respect each other and we like each other, but that's not always easy. Like there are times where I'm like, you know, do I want to continue this for 30 years? The answer is yes. I love my husband very much. But if you ask yourself that kind of a question, Jay, you might realize you don't. And that's a scary place to be too, because now it's not just empty nesting. It's also a separation, a divorce. That challenge now comes up, right? So that's a lot to contend with. And I know that you have, I believe I was reading about, you have a 3-part process that you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to dig into that with you. What are you doing with these beautiful empty nesters? What is this 3-part magic you got going on?
And the magic really applies to anybody at any stage where they are in empty nesting. It's designed to really help them tackle to answer the questions, what next and what's now, what now and what's next. And so that the very first thing we talked about it in the beginning a little bit, it's like getting square with what's going on in your head and your heart. Like, that's step one, because, you know, you do this kind of work is you can't actually move forward to deal with like what's right in front of you, which is what's inside of you. Okay. So the way brains work is there are circumstances in our lives that take place. You name it. We've all been through them. They happen every single day. Some of them we react to subconsciously with our animal brains, and some we kind of use our more human developed brains up front to tackle. But when somebody says something, the easiest way to break this down, Nina, is like when somebody cuts us off in traffic, you initially have a physiological response to it, which happens so fast you don't even really notice it.
Right. True.
Then you have a thought about that person. And then you have feelings about that person. Right. And then you take action or don't take action based upon those thoughts and feelings. And then you have results from that.
And it actually takes seconds, moments. Yeah.
Boom. Done in an instant. We're mm-hmm. either okay with it or we're giving them the finger as we drive by. I mean, literally, that's how it goes through. So the same thing happens when the kids leave home. You have thoughts and feelings about it.
Yeah.
And so many times, this is just true of life, not just when the kids leave home, but we just don't deal with our thoughts and feelings as humans.
I was just going to say that.
And so that's step one. And most people are like, ooh, I don't want to do that. That's why I say you need to get right with what's going on in your head and your heart. That seems more accessible. Yeah. So that's step one. Step two is self-discovery. Again, we talked about it a little bit before. It's like, who do you want to be now? Your kids are off getting like discovered.
Doing their thing. Yeah.
Come on now. You got to do your thing too.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like in the self-discovery phase. It's just looking at, okay, going back to the thing about what were you really good at as a parent? Can we tap into that? What did you love to do before you had kids? And not everybody had that luxury. I know. Right. There are plenty of people, yourself included, have kids in their teens through like 21, 22, right at the beginning when they graduate college. You never had time to discover out what you wanted from life mm-hmm. or what life looked like for you. So, of course, you're going to answer that question with, I don't know. But now's the time to figure it out.
Yeah. And it could be fun figuring it out, too. It could be really fun.
As soon as you don't let fear speak for you anymore.
Yeah.
Then it's a lot of fun to figure out what you want from life. And then finally, like anything else, you set some goals, right? Yeah. Action steps to get there. And so those are the three steps to what I call loving your life.
I love that. Okay. So how long is your program? Like, does it take 3 months, 6 months, a year? What are we looking at?
My goal is 6 months.
Yeah.
I want people to come in and they work with me from 6 months. I'll teach them all the tools, how to do the trick with the thoughts and the feelings, and actually how you do like thought swaps and change negative thoughts to positive thoughts.
I love it.
To do the self-discovery and figure out who you want to be now, what do you want from life, and then to set goals and action steps to get there, and just to be kind of the guide on the side. That's kind of how I see myself. 6 months.
I want you
to graduate in 6 months.
Yeah.
Does that happen for everybody? No. Right? Some people work with me for a year. Some people have amazing breakthroughs in 3 months. And then we pick something else to have another breakthrough and work on for the next 3 months. It's all individualized to the people that we work with.
Yeah. And that's how it should be, right? I think that, the reason I asked about the length of program is because I always like people to understand that these are not just one and done type of things. Like, you are really truly trying to discover what it is you want to do in life. And it's going to change too. I mean, I've had like three different careers, mm-hmm. it's going to change. And that's the fun part. I'm rediscovering myself again, and I love it. I'm 52. I went from being in medical for so many years, 15 years or whatever it is, to becoming a chef and growing teams and stuff like that and becoming a chef. Then I became a coach for the last 12 years, and it's like super fun. And now I'm just like combining all of the chef work with the coaching, and it's so fun, Jay.
You figured out the recipe.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's so fun, right? Because I think yes, it's scary too. I'm not going to lie to you. There's fear sometimes will make you feel stuck or burnt out. That's why you need a coach, right? That's why all of you guys who are listening, who are in this piece, that's why I wanted to bring Jay on here, because I want you guys to understand that you're not doing this alone and you're not alone. And there's people out here like Jay who wants to help you. He wants to actually help you go from that place of the grieving part and the part where you feel like you're alone and all that great stuff to really, who are you? You're probably the biggest badass and you don't even know it. So let's discover that, right, Jay? How fun is that? You must get so much joy of what you do.
Yeah, I love the updates from people because they're not solicited updates. Clients will like send me notes. Ooh. This just happened. Oh, this just happened. This is happening. And so it's magical to see people go from, if I get them at the start of school, then often it's very emotional filled, lots of tissues for the first couple of sessions. But to watch them go from that, being unsure of kind of who they are now and what they want to do and where they want to be, to being like, oh, I have such a vision. I can still be a mom or a dad in the way that works for me and works for my kids. But I also get to be an individual that my kids can be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I want to know. I want to know my mom or dad now because of the things that they're doing. And that's just magical.
Yeah. And I want to like speak to that too, because, you know, me ended up becoming, you know, a podcaster, and I wrote my book and, you know, coaching program, and I help businesses and stuff. And my kids are like, damn, that's fire. I'm like, yes, it is. It's fire, ain't it? So, I love that. Right. I love that they see it to be fun. And my mom is like, my mom is the shit, as they say. My mom is the shit, you know, and I love that. I'm like, see, you can reinvent yourself. And because they're adults now, they see you differently too. So when you start to reinvent yourself, they start to see that too. Like, oh, wait, she's not just mom. Like, she's doing things, you know? And I think that, or dad, you know, I just think it's fun. And I love what you're doing. I love how you're showing up in the world, Jay, because you are also at that age where we're looking at and going, well, he's doing it. I could do it. You know? And so thank you for helping people get through that transition. Cause that, I think that's a really neglected space, actually. You know, I haven't seen many empty nest coaches like yourself. There's not that I know of, you know, so I'm grateful for you and what you're doing. Well, thank you for doing it.
Yeah. There's not many of us that say empty nest in our, you know, personas or our marketing. A lot of people talk about midlife, and those transitions are a little bit different, but the thing with empty nesting is, and we may have talked about this before, is like when you're a kid, you see kids go off to elementary school. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. And you see kids go off to middle school. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. High school, university, job, marriage, kids, retirement. That's all outlined for us. There's a big, almost 15 to 20 year gap between, depending on when your kids go off to school, kids going off to school, quote unquote retirement. Nobody talks about that. So it's just assumed that we just keep doing what we're doing. And I'm like, why? Why?
Right. Throw the monkey wrench in there, Jay. Mess up the program. But that's the way. And I love that you're asking that question, because I think a lot of us do just follow the programming, and then we're not happy. And we're upset that we have to do these things that we don't want to do. But we've never questioned, do I even want to effing do this thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I even doing this? I don't even want to, you know? And it's just a program. It's just what we do, because you're supposed to, you know? And so I love that. And I love that, you know, people are coming to you now with, okay, I don't even know who I am. So I love that you're taking them from that space as well. Like, well, let's talk about that. You know, what the hell do you love doing? What do you actually like doing? You know, and I reinventing what that means, right? And the fact that you're with them all the way through the goal piece means you're not just, oh, here you are, you're this person, and then bye, right? But you're also saying to them, nope, we're going to actually work out a plan so you can see where you started to what you want to actually create in the freaking world. Oh, Jay, man, I like you so much. I am going to make sure to be following you. I am following you, man. So I'm going to go on that TikTok and follow you. But before I wrap up and let you go, actually give us that. Where do people work with you? How do they find you? All that great stuff. Give us that.
Yeah. So to find me on Instagram and TikTok, it's just the Empty Nest Coach, the.emptynest.coach. And my website is thisemptynestlife.com.
All right. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on Straight Talk and just like giving my audience a new, fresh, beautiful perspective on what they can be doing. It doesn't have to end. You wake up every day. There's a purpose and a meaning for your life. And let's try to discover what that is. Right, Jay? So thank you for being here on Straight Talk.
My absolute pleasure to have another conversation with you, Nina. It's so fun. Always a good time.
Yeah, so good. All right, guys, I'm going to make sure to link all of Jay's information below. I'm actually going to, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go over there onto the TikTok and go ahead and make sure I follow Jay, because I'm trying to like actually discover really good people that I want to follow there, because, you know, there's a lot of garbage there, but there's a lot of good things, and that's just social media, right? So Jay, thank you for being here. Guys, thank you for listening. I love you guys so much. And thank you for always subscribing, liking, sharing all the things that you're doing, because the channel is growing and I really appreciate all of that. All right, guys, until next time.